Hey everybody, what's going on? It's time for RGH, episode number 68. We're snapping in here with some god-tier topics that are not updated because I forgot. Wait, what? Hey, what? Topics list is, we'll ramble them off as we go. Apparently I didn't unmute my boys in Discord, so they probably couldn't hear the intro, but hi guys.
Sorry, we missed it.
Hi everybody, are you ready to rip?
Happy birthday, Mike!
I clicked record finally.
Oh my god.
I was recording this whole time, of course, too.
I'm like in the middle of announcing this on Discord. I'm not ready! Just stop the podcast. Give me a couple minutes.
Okay, I'm gonna turn the music back on. RGH timer has restarted. Okay, so I forgot to update the titles list, so we're all doing something pretty sus. We're gonna talk about
oh my god,
censorship across the pond on multiple different video game companies, as well as my favorite game, Genshin Impact. We're gonna talk about a massive lawsuit with Activision. We are gonna talk about some Battlefield news, and a new map got teased, and a new director for the game, and just a bunch of other stuff as we see fit. So it's gonna be a great day.
You're gonna have to handle the transitions, because if we can't see the, I am not keeping track of the topics.
I'll fix them later. I'll think about it. So let's just jump in with. Do you want to talk about the Activision stuff first? The big lawsuit.
Yeah, we may as well. I mean, it's kind of a big deal.
It's wild.
Like the biggest cheat site out there for Warzone, but this is actually good news for other gamers too. If you don't play, I don't play Warzone, but. This same site makes cheats for, like, Halo Infinite, you know? So if you're a Halo gamer and you're like, why should I care about this? You should care about this. So, yes. I mean, they make... And they're a subscription-based model. So you pay every month to get access to cheats for multiple different competitive shooters, like Halo Infinite, Warzone, I think even, like, CSGO. I don't know if they do Destiny stuff. I don't really keep up with Destiny cheats anyways. But... Anyways, this is pretty good news. So it was actually like, what was it, $2,500 per infraction. And so when you add them all up, they said it's like an eight-figure lawsuit. It's a lot of money.
My question is like, how much of that gets paid out or how that actually works? Mm-hmm. You saw Bungie partnering up with Riot for like trying to get the cheats out of the ecosystem. Now Activision is throwing their money and lawyers around, right? It is a problem all over gaming. I mean, in Halo, Halo Infinite, there's a bunch of cheaters right now. And 343 haven't even addressed it. They haven't even, like, said anything about the cheaters. And they're rampant in that game as well. And
can you guys hear me?
Yeah. I can hear you.
Okay, I may not have had to plug in my mic. We're prepared here. I want to say about the Halo thing. The Halo solution is literally, like... If we pretend there's no cheaters, then maybe people won't notice. Maybe
I know.
They're like, people get killed by such BS lag anyways that they won't even notice it as cheaters.
Oh, it's true. It's just like every single game that releases, there's no avoiding it. It is a rampant problem. And I just don't take any shooter games seriously anymore. I just don't take anything. My competitive edge is gone. Until they get it under wraps. Because I don't know if you beat me because you're cheating or because you're better than me. Because everyone has access to these things. It's really not that hard to get. And they're getting them in games in the first day. Like, 2 days into Halo, people are already cheating. How? Like, do you not have to, like re-back-end engineer the code? How the hell are you injecting a cheat into a game that fast? It seems bizarre. Or, worked at 343... And it's like, they don't have any cheat.
Right. Yeah,
they don't have an
inside job
to write it. Right?
Or you're one of the people who got fired at Bungie for harassing everyone. You go into cheat making. Like, who knows, bro? Listen,
yeah, I can't get a job in the industry anymore.
Yeah. man, it's so crazy. And we went over before, like, there's millions of dollars to be made. Like, Activision is suing this company for $1 billion or whatever. Or this, like, whatever it is for $1 billion.
Yeah, tens of millions.
Right? Like... That and it's $2,500 per infraction, right? Or something like that?
Yeah.
So that's a lot, dude. I don't know how much $2,500 goes into a billion, but clearly a lot. So that's everyone who bought those cheats. And often you have like a subscription service to cheating software. It's like $100 a month or something, maybe. I think I heard that for like one ring? Ring one.
I mean, so, I don't know what it's called.
Yeah. No, but seriously, it's like there's money to be made in designing these cheats, which is because there's so many people who cheat, which is so wild. Because again, we've talked about, I just don't understand. Like for me, dude, I would get so bored if I like just pressed my trigger and it just auto aimed on someone. Like, what's the point? Like, what am I doing here?
But exactly, like, it's in what game? Like, would you sit down and play chess and just be like, yeah, just play for me? Like, no, yeah. I wouldn't. Are you telling me you're gonna log into RuneScape and you're not gonna click all those cool ore day in, day out and get your mining level up? No.
Bro, that's how I spent my entire childhood, was clicking coal ore, bro, for 6 hours right? a day.
Right.
Yeah. Like, I don't know, it's very bizarre, and it's definitely like it is definitely a weird thing, but this is something that could curb it. Because if you're attracted to the money and you're like, bro, we could make hella money, yeah. But might get sued for $1 billion by Activision. Maybe. Like,
I see these guys.
It's a harder pitch to your butt. Mm-hmm. It's a harder pitch.
That's right. That's right. I see these guys as sort of like the modern era mobsters like we had in the early 1900s, where it's like, you want to run your underground thing. You want to make a boatload of cash, but you got to be careful, because if you get too greedy, you're going to end up on somebody's radar. You don't want to be on their radar, and then they're going to come after you. So it's like they're like the mobsters of today. They're trying to get big, but not too big.
But like,
they start getting greedy, and then they get another subscription service, and they're making millions of dollars. And guess what? They gonna come for you,
dude. Yeah, I mean, but we said this when Bungie teamed up with Riot to sue Gator cheats, bro, or something like that. And we said, hey, let's hope more companies do this. So it's Gator cheats down. There was another one recently that also happened, and now this cheat maker going down. Cause like, listen, you can hire a lawyer. I guarantee your lawyer is not going to be as good as the Activision lawyers. Because God knows those guys are working day in and day out these days, especially. You know, these are some experienced lawyers here. So the sheer amount of money that Activision has to put behind suing these cheaters, like, you're done for. There's no way this cheat service is going to be around. So it's going to have to pull. And then if the court makes them, I think potentially this happened with Gator cheats, if the court makes them provide the user data, and so now they know everyone who's cheating.
That's right.
That's good too, and that's potentially huge.
Because then they're all getting banned, and it sends some ripples, and maybe that slap on the wrist is like, oof, I just lost my $70 game. I can't play it ever again. I don't want to do that anymore. Yeah. And I've paid my year-long subscription that I'm not getting back, or whatever. Right. My question, though, is, like, when do they get deterred enough to stop fully? Or do they just keep making new companies and, like, calling themselves bankrupt? I don't know. My question is, if you're getting sued for $1 billion, do you maybe fold and go, listen, I'll tell you how we did this. I'll tell you how to defend yourself. Please don't make us pay $1 billion.
Yeah, right? I think that's probably almost what Activision is hoping for.
Right, like some way to,
like, to see
defend
the,
themselves in the future, because like they're getting they're losing. They're $1 billion
There's
companies
no way.
That are
There's
losing
no way.
To cheaters.
I mean, it pretty clearly says in the terms of service, like, y'all can't cheat. Like,
yeah,
you know what I mean. So, yeah, that's another interesting thing. Is like they don't actually get $1 billion, but they get the source code of the cheats or whatever, so they can go in and say, here's exactly how they made it. And again, the user, I think that getting every single person who bought or is currently subscribed to this cheat service, that's another huge thing.
Yeah.
That's right.
Because if they're going to cheat on one game, they're going to cheat everywhere.
You got to pay, right? So you can follow a trail. So some people are dumb enough to pay with their actual credit cards under their name, right? I'm sure people are paying from PayPal, but hey, PayPal can be traced down to like certain. So you can go after a lot of people this way, and it's. I feel like, hopefully, dude, the tides are turning. Because again, like, if you're honestly, it requires a lot of skill to make these like really good cheats and to get behind. If you have this much skill in programming these cheats, you can go and get a legitimate job that's probably willing to pay you a decent amount, maybe not quite as much.
A fraction as much as you would make.
Yeah, but you're not going to get sued for $1 billion.
Yeah, but you're not going to have a Lambo for a couple months before you get sued.
Yeah,
so
it's, you're going to live that high life for a couple months, yeah.
Yeah.
Can you imagine that reckoning day, though, if the user data did get out and then they just did like a mass wave of bans, you know?
Yeah.
You're like watching your favorite content creator and they're like, signing into Warzone today. All right, who's ready to play? So what? It says I'm banned. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Yeah,
that day of reckoning.
Doc gets banned. Do you know? I hope Doc's game slaps. I hope he absolutely nails it. He's been complaining about other games for so long. The audio shit. You know, he just calls every game trash. So he has to nail it. The audio has to be amazing. The map design has to be perfect. The hit registration, like, that's a big project. But I can't wait to see what happens there. Let's move on now.
Thank you. First of all, I got to say a quick thank you to Christopher, absolute MVP of the channel.
Amazing.
Keeping the lights running. Amazing guy. He's here all the time. For those who don't know, Christopher is just like the MVP of the Real Gamer Hour. Now.
Thank you.
Next topic. You know what? Why don't you write the topics as you go, Tash? So then by the time we get to the... Okay.
What? You want me to do like... what's it called? Process of elimination? So the first one was the Activision.
Yeah, Activision sues... All right,
so now we know that the next topic won't be Activision sues cheaters. Yeah. Maybe it will.
No, that's a good. Yeah, exactly. What's the next topic here?
Let's talk about the. Do you want to talk about the censorship, or do you want to talk about Battlefield? We're talking about Battlefield. Battlefield's cool. So Marcus Leto, he was one of the original creators for Halo. He then went on to create a studio that created that game, Disintegration, which released, didn't do amazing, and now that studio has folded. I mean, there was some promise there with the game. Like, it did have some really beautiful cutscenes and things like that, but the gameplay, from what I saw and heard, it just wasn't there. It just wasn't, it didn't take off. But now, he got picked up to be the new director on Battlefield, which is really, really cool.
They but didn't he come map. From Riot? Like, didn't he have another...
Yeah, he went over to Riot. I'm not sure. He might have. Did something else.
He might have, yeah.
But, Battlefield picked him up.
So he's been in the industry for a long time. Like, this guy's...
Yeah, a lot of experience.
I met him at DestiCutieCon. He said he liked my content, so obviously, man of great quality judgment.
Great taste.
And I'm pretty sure he follows me on Twitter. Let me check this.
Probably not.
We follow each other. I could go into his DMs right now.
DM him and say leak stuff for the podcast. And see what his response is.
I could DM him right now, but obviously I got to be respectful. I'm not going to do that. Unless I have... I could whip over, hey, congratulations on the Battlefield promotion. By the way, add more weapons, because that's what we need. I'm just kidding. But pretty crazy situation there, and this guy has been super active on social media in a good way. Players really want to feel like they're heard. They really want to feel like if there's a problem with the game, that there's solutions. And so with this guy, like, one of the things is that someone, you know, remember when the controversy, there was a Christmas skin where the guy was like a Santa Claus and people are like, no, Battlefield is like a milsim game. We don't want this like crazy clown outfit, right? Like, you're not Call of Duty. We play Battlefield specifically because it's not Call of Duty, right? And he said, like, don't worry. I was like, I think he specifically said it. He used the word like clown shooter. He's like, I'm not going to turn Valve into a clown shooter, or like, I'm going to keep this clown stuff out of the game, right? He actually said it. And so the community was really happy about that, saying like, okay, thank goodness. This is a guy high up being like, no, we totally understand. We don't want to do that.
Right.
It's like, that's really what the Battlefield community is really happy about right now, is that for the longest time, DICE has just been like this faceless entity, right?
Yeah.
And they're giving feedback, they're making complaints about the direction that the franchise is going, and they're raising their concerns, and just some nameless, faceless person, you know, on their Twitter account or Reddit or whatever is interacting here and there. But they don't have a face or a person that's sort of like a leader in the community on that end, you know, from the developer side. So now it's really refreshing for them to have someone they can look to who's saying who's saying, hey, it, like, even he responded to like this massive hate thread, not hate thread, but just a thread on Reddit, just
thread.
Completely
was
breaking
it a
down.
Was it a thread on Reddit?
It was a thread was a on thread. Reddit about 2042, right?
Yeah, so it was
and
a hate
all
thread.
The things wrong with it. And he responds there, and it's not defensive. It's not explaining the decisions they made, but instead it's, hey guys, you know, just wanted to let you know. And he's a game director. He's a director, right? He's not like a community manager. So his title carries some weight, you know, and he's saying, hey guys, appreciate all this feedback, you know, combing through all of it. Totally hear your concerns. We're really just focused on trying to revamp the direction that we're taking the Battlefield franchise based on what you guys are saying about what you want out of the game, what you're experiencing. So it's like, it's great that they're hearing their criticism, you know, regurgitated back to them and just saying, we hear what you're saying, and they're acknowledging it and saying changes are happening. Not only that, but now they're even like leaking, not leaking, but like teasing new maps and stuff like that on Twitter. So it feels overall like a really positive step.
Doesn't it seem like it's like not necessarily exciting, but it's like relieving that it seems they're still hiring people and trying to bring in people that can do good for the future of the game, and they're teasing stuff. It's like, it's not an abandoned project. They didn't just release a AAA game. They're like, we're out. It seems like they want to fix it. They want this to be a long-term thing, which is really good because, with some of these games, they launch, and then it's like, thanks for the money, later.
Someone in the chat pointed out, he's like, dude, there's more people playing Battlefield 5 than Battlefield 2042. And that was true, like, on Steam. I don't know if it's, like, true today, but there was a day where more people playing Battlefield 5, which was not well-received, by the way, until basically the last expansion. People were saying, oh, it's finally good. They're playing the last game than the current game, right? So obviously things are not going well for Battlefield 2042, but I think the biggest issue is just lack of content, bro. There's two LMGs. Two LMGs. That's it. That's it. And it's like, other games launched with five. Four, like, and so you're going to level up through your guns, and you're just going to be like, okay, I'm bored. You know, you have to have that variety. You have to, like, be able to go and do, you know, have a different experience every single game. And Battlefield is just not offering right now. Now, hopefully, when Season 1 launches, I think they said maybe March, it'll inject a bunch of new weapons, new content, guns, new vehicles. Yeah. We're going to get, like, new operators or specialists, whatever they're called. And then hopefully, you can do some fun stuff with it. And I've actually been seeing, like, I don't have a huge desire to go play Battlefield, but I do specifically for the, I've seen so much like TikTok clips and YouTube videos of people. They go into Portal and they make their own like mil sim game. It's like no HUD, graphics turned up to a bazillion. Like you're in a huge open desert map. The weapon damage is turned up a ton, and it's just like a mil sim. Like it's like an Arma 3 almost like mil sim. People are like, you know, shooting shots across the desert at each other and stuff, and I was like, this looks freaking sick. This looks awesome.
And it's just a mod?
No, it's just, you can make it in Portal. In-game.
Oh, in Portal.
They have
that
Portal thing where they have, you can, it even has like a logic editor in Portal. So like, people are making really, really cool stuff in Portal.
They're making a better game than they made.
Exactly.
Literally, that's what they were saying. They're like, listen, if you don't like our game, make your own. Here's the tools.
Honestly, and I feel like that stuff is going to start to catch on. Like Battlefield is getting memed on so much, and that's why a lot of people are staying away. But dude, XQC or some popular streamer or Doc is going to be recommended, hey, try out this Portal game, and he's going to play it and love it, and then all these people are going to come in just to play, like, this Portal mod, basically, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think Battlefield does, having that Portal system, does have some length and some legs, and as soon as the community, like, pops off with a really good Portal mode, I feel like that game's going to come back in a big way.
Right now, Battlefield has 10,626 people on Steam. That is not very good.
That's terrible.
I mean, Destiny is 65,000 right now.
Yeah.
And I mean, I know this is just a PvP-only kind of game mode, but Battlefield 5, which I would say is not very good either, like, compared to some of the other ones, it has 5,000. So it has half the player base. That is not okay. The old game having that much. I mean, I guess Call of Duty Black Ops 3 kind of does that as well. It has, like, a pretty big player base comparatively.
Check but, what? What does Vanguard have? Call of Duty Vanguard.
Let's see.
That's I'm a good question.
It might not be on Steam. Actually, no, it's on Battle.net. So I don't know if you can do that.
Yeah, I can't see it. But like Call of Duty Black Ops 3 has 10,000 people right now. The same amount as the new Battlefield.
Because Black Ops 3 was on like mega sale recently and and people just played for zombies.
Yeah, that's fair. 30 day gain in player base went up 22%. So that's probably, you know, part of the reason why. But still, it's a brand new AAA game, right?
Wild. Look at,
when was Call of Duty Black Ops 3 released, right?
Like, dude, yeah, Battlefield.
You shouldn't be competing. Especially with how many games they're putting out all the time.
Battlefield is not doing well. It is suffering. It is really, really not doing well. But again, I feel like there is a few things like the portal, you know, the game, the updates. They were really fast with updates. They nerfed a lot of stuff and did some stuff within the first like month. Like
fixed a lot multiple of bugs updates. And glitches.
Yeah, I would see their updates. And it'd be like update number 3, and they'd go over all this good stuff, like fixing the 30mm cannon. I would be like, oh, it's probably coming out like in a couple weeks, and it'd be like, launches tomorrow. I was like, whoa! I was like, sick.
Well, speaking of fixing bugs and glitches quickly, did you see the new bug in Warzone? The level 100 battle pass skin renders you invisible.
That's
and
fair.
They're being it's been that way for weeks and they have not fixed it yet, because it's like, hey, if we take our time to fix this, how many people are going to be playing the game to crank out to level 100 on the battle pass
so they can go ghost skin. Mode and just win for free.
Because
they're leaving it so people have to buy their way to level 100 in the battle pass and get the invisibility skin.
I know. Well, as soon as the news about it broke, I'm sure their sales that day just like through the roof, you know.
Thanks for the dono, Devin Carr. We're going to answer that question, though, when it comes to the After Dark section, so don't be afraid to ask again, but we will answer it.
Yep.
All right, moving on to the next subject. This is pretty crazy. So I think, what was it, 14 or 16? 16, I think it was. Game studios.
Oh, yeah.
Chinese game studios had to shut down. And the
thousand.
Reason, what?
It was in the thousands. It wasn't 16.
I thought it was like 16 prominent ones.
Yeah, but it was like 20,000 of them. Like all the like mobile games. Like think of all the mobile games and little MMOs and indies, all of them.
14,000 gaming companies.
Oh, yeah, is it four? Okay.
Go out
I thought
of business.
It was 14 big ones. Okay. So 14,000. Well, okay, never mind. It was even worse. So 14,000 game studios based in China had to shut down. Why? Because China has not approved any games throughout 2021. So your game studio, you're working on a game you're supposed to launch this year. The Chinese government's like, nope, we're not approving it. Can't.
They have to give registrations. They have to approve registrations for your game in China.
Yeah.
And they just froze. They did
and
a
they're
freeze
like, we're
on
not doing
all
it.
Registrations.
So this is going hand in hand with, you know, we talked about how China is preventing people. You can't play games if you're under age. If you're under 18, you can play like 3 hours of gaming a week. That's it. And they'll monitor you and they'll look at your internet usage, so you're not allowed to do it. And yeah, they just said, nope, no games coming out, right? And so that's wild. So China's just like, we're done with gaming. Like, for whatever reason, you know, the Chinese government is like, we don't like video games and no one can do it now. So, people can still game, but limiting who can play, and also now saying we're not approving like anyone's games.
Like that industry just got shanked.
Tank.
Think about how many people.
Can I say every time I criticize the Chinese Communist Party, there's always like some guy who's like a gamer hashtag Marxist on Twitter and being like, why is Rick so mean to the Chinese Communist Party? They're not that bad. Okay, go be a gamer there. There's no new games, bro. They killed an entire industry because one dude in the government's like, I don't like video games. Bro, that's effed up. That's so bad. Like, that's crazy. Think of how many thousands, hundreds of thousands of people's jobs are in the gaming industry in China. Like, just before this year, the gaming industry was exploding in China. The amount of investment into these Chinese companies, and I mean, Tash is making, like, Genshin Impact his main thing. Yeah. That, like, China was going to be a force in gaming, and they were doing some really awesome stuff. Like, there is fantastic games coming out in China, and they just were like, nope.
And do you know what I just realized? So there's this other game that was supposed to compete with Genshin Impact called Tower of Fantasy. And there's like a lot of issues with the development. And then all of a sudden they're like, oh, by the way, we're releasing the game. I'm wondering if it has to do with some of these laws. And they just put the game out. They're like,
get it out. Get
we're
out
just
going
to get it out. Yeah. We're going to put it out to the public. Because if we don't, it's never going to see the light of day. I honestly think that's what happened.
Yeah.
And they were going to do like a North America release. And now it's like up in air. Like, will they even do a North America release? And now it's all kind of coming together. But did you guys hear what Genshin is doing right now? So
this is great too. This is crazy.
MiHoYo is the company that made Genshin. They gave up all the publishing and everything to a company in Singapore named Cognosphere. So I think they're trying to circumvent some of these changes.
Oh, 100%.
But before they could do that, there are new character skins or like censored skins for Mona, Rosaria, Jean, and Amber. And so, like, Amber, her shirt just isn't as low cut. And, like, Jean, you could kind of see her shoulders and stuff. Now she's got, like, more like a, almost like a military outfit on. Rosaria, she had, like, fishnet leggings. And now it's just, like, leather pants kind of thing. It's bizarre. And then Mona, it's almost like she's got, like, a bodysuit on. Now she's got this, like tunic and like, pants. And it's like, what? It's not even the same character model. Like, it's really weird. And so if you're playing on the CN servers, that's it. That's what the characters look like now. And there's nothing you can do about it. If you're in North America and Europe, you actually have a choice between the skins. So, I mean, we kind of got a free skin. I think some of the new ones do look really good. Like the Jean one looks pretty badass, but it's just crazy. And we talked about this a few weeks ago about how they don't want any almost like trans content in their games. So if it's like...
it's just a feminine-looking guy.
Yeah, androgynous, like, nope. Feminine, anything that is like that, where it's maybe ambiguous, is that a guy, is it a girl? They don't want it. So Venti, one of the characters in the game, and I heard this months ago. They're like, yeah, they're going to change the model for Venti and make him look like a guy. And I was like, no, they're not. They're not going to rewrite this whole character and redo all the art. But it's like, oh, wait, maybe they actually were going to do that or were planning on doing it, And MiHoYo has moved to Cognosphere now, and like maybe they're away from it, and you know they're not under the thumb. But I'm curious how much of Genshin's development has been impacted by this. How many delays has there been? You know, like could there be another region or two that were in the game that aren't now, and the game is a fraction of where it could be? Like I don't know.
It just sucks because like. The Chinese people, the Chinese citizens have clearly embraced gaming. That's why these 14,000 companies popped up and gaming has really started to, and that's why there was billions of dollars of investment into games that would not only appeal to that audience, but games from China and so on, right? And it's like now all those people are just like, oh, you know, my games are getting changed. And potentially I'm being banned from gaming and all this stuff because the government just is like, nope, no gaming. So this is going to be a worldwide impact, right? Like you might be thinking, oh, well, I don't live in China. This doesn't impact
me. Global economy, for sure.
Dude, again, it's like all of those companies that potentially could make great games that appeal to audiences of the world, now maybe they're going to get screwed. And like you said, Tash, like think of all the extra work and extra development is now you basically have to have like a Chinese approved version and then like a worldwide version too. Mm-hmm. So you've got to be able to like potentially rewrite a character or do all this stuff or redesign a character because later on someone is like, I don't like that. So it's actually pretty wild and it just hurts gaming as a whole. And the only hope really is that the Chinese government looks at what's going on and goes, oh, we actually kind of lost a lot of money here. Like this was a big industry. And we maybe didn't. I think their hope is like, okay, if people don't game, they're going to all enter the workforce. They're going to spend that time in the workforce doing all this stuff. But again, it's like the gaming is part of the workforce. There's a huge industry there. And I think that the only way that this kind of goes back is that the Chinese government looks at what's happened and been like, oh, we actually lost a ton of money. This was maybe not the best move. But unless that happens, like, I you know,
what do you do? There's no fighting the man or sticking it to the man. I mean,
yeah,
but I mean,
that's not in the cards.
I don't know if they care. There's literally like concentration camps in China right now and stuff. Like, there's labor issues. So I don't know if they care about anything other than, I guess, very archaic old school stuff. And like, I think that they just believe that it's like a waste of like their potential there, which is weird because I it's like they've thrown I feel like they've thrown human rights out the window here. Like, you're not allowed to watch TV. You're not allowed to play games. You're not allowed to have any extracurricular hobbies or fun or relaxation. It's like, what? At what point is the society just going to shut down? They're not going to be productive. They're going to just burn out all the time. Like, it's bizarre. I feel bad, honestly. Can you imagine if you just got gaming taken away from you? Or you're an athlete, yeah, and it's like, yeah, by the way, you're not allowed to play that sport ever again. Nothing you can do about it.
Yeah. What? Wild.
Truly.
Absolutely wild. Maybe, guys, rethink putting hashtag Marxism in your Twitter bios. Turns out it's got some downsides. Like,
a couple downsides.
You know what I mean? Like, Jesus.
So, and then, like, the other thing I was just thinking about, too, is, like, there's a thing about Tencent and how Tencent is, like, trying to transition.
It bought a bunch of studios.
Well, but it's also, it's trying to sell off, like, a bunch of different things, too, because it's, like, we bought all these companies and games and we can't even, they're not even going to make the games anymore. And so, it is bizarre. I don't know. They have screwed so many companies and people. I just don't see how they justified this. I don't know. It is beyond me.
When you are a one government system, you don't need to justify anything. You don't need to justify anything, dude, because no one can criticize you. That's the point.
So let's move on to another gaming topic. What are the other ones? Process of elimination.
I don't know. You're in the.
I don't know.
I can't bring it up because it'll ruin the stream. So maybe
guess that we are going with Ubisoft Xbox Game Pass team up.
That was a big one. Okay, so while one country is saying gaming sucks, Xbox is saying we're going to become the greatest gaming platform there's ever been.
Honestly,
yeah,
they're investing billions, dude.
Yeah, and there's so now it's looking like Ubisoft is partnering up with Xbox Game Pass.
So,
and does that mean Ubisoft games will be on Game Pass?
So, what was announced for sure is that the Rainbow Six Extraction game is going to be available day one on Game Pass, I'm pretty sure, because Ubisoft tweeted out, oh, hey, at Xbox on Twitter, and then they announced this, right? And so they've clearly are starting a relationship. And then a lot of people are saying, well, there was a bunch of rumors that Ubisoft Plus could be coming to Xbox Game Pass. So this kind of just reignited that whole thing. It's like, okay, they're clearly, I mean, like, if they have this other thing, they have Ubisoft Plus, which is exactly like Game Pass. You can subscribe for $5 or whatever it is a month, similar to the EA one, EA Play, and then you get Ubisoft games and old Ubisoft games you get access to and all that stuff. If they are like, what would be a better thing to say, hey, early launch or something for our new Rainbow Six Extraction game if you subscribe to Ubisoft Plus? But they didn't do that. They said, no, subscribe to Game Pass. And that, to me, says they might be going away from the idea of Ubisoft Plus, because I doubt Ubisoft Plus has a ton of users.
It's probably not very lucrative.
Probably costs a lot to maintain. And Xbox is probably like, we'll buy Ubisoft Plus for however many, $1 billion or whatever insane amount. And then if Xbox pulls us off, they're going to have the EA library, the Bethesda library, all the Xbox Studio stuff, and now Ubisoft. So Assassin's Creed, Rainbow Six, what else is on Ubisoft? Watch Dogs, like a lot of stuff, dude. Ubisoft makes a lot of games. So that is insane. Xbox Game Pass, it really could just be like the one. It looks to be like the Netflix back before there was Disney Plus and all this other stuff. It was just Netflix.
Is it worth investing in Microsoft because they're
going to
be a juggernaut in gaming?
Confirmed. Wait, Tom Warren.
I saw him tweet about it.
So am I wrong about that? Like, that would have been a little after. Let me look here.
Do it to it. We got to get the facts.
Do we get a leak? Is there a leak?
No, I'm just trying to see where he says Ubisoft Plus. Oh, Ubisoft Plus is coming to Xbox. Yeah, The Verge is reporting that Ubisoft is. Okay, so I thought it was like, I know the Rainbow Six thing was what it was announced today. Like, Ubisoft Plus is not available on Xbox like today or anything. Yeah, Rainbow Six is day one on Game Pass. And yeah, so I guess it is the whole thing.
That's amazing. Wow. If you don't have Game Pass, what are you doing?
Oh, no. Ubisoft announced. Okay, I read that wrong. Ubisoft has officially announced Ubisoft Plus is coming to Xbox and Rainbow Six Extraction is day one on Xbox. Okay, so I saw the tweet announcement and it wasn't clear, but there's a separate article that was released after by Ubisoft. No, so it is getting Game Pass. So everything I said about how huge it's going to become is 100% happening.
There you go.
So every
and good luck PlayStation competing now.
Okay, so every old Assassin's Creed game, like I would expect probably everything from like what is it called, Odyssey backwards on Xbox, probably Rainbow Six Siege on Xbox, the Division games on probably on Xbox, we've got For Honor on Xbox, because this is so smart. Actually, like, think about all those games I just mentioned. All right, every single freaking one of them, dude, is like a live service game. For Honor is still chugging along, bro. Yeah. For Honor, you still
they
got a community.
So many
that just
to that game.
There are people out there. I don't know who they are. All they do is play For Honor. So
that game was dope. I loved that game.
Think about how smart that is. Is like, we just get more people into For Honor, and we just have the microtransactions, right? More people into Rainbow Six. I can't believe Rainbow Six isn't free to play at this point, because like they have the alpha packs and stuff. Like it's all about the microtransactions. They're just gonna get so many more people into these games that are gonna have these microtransactions. Crazy.
I'm making my own game and putting it on Game Pass. Day one, free.
Yeah.
No cost.
I'm telling you, man, PlayStation's gotta do something. Because this isn't the first time we've reported on something like this where Game Pass is just collecting more and more and more.
They are. They're coming out with their own thing that's gonna suck because there's no possible way they can compete now.
Well, that's the thing. They are playing catch up. Hardcore. Like, they are way behind. So they're just now saying, hey, we're going to do a Game Pass thing. Meanwhile, Xbox is like, we have Game Pass, and we're making it way better. And then PlayStation just announced this week, right, that they're going to be having Discord integration into party chats.
That's good.
First quarter, which is good. But it's like, none of the news coming out of Sony is as promising as what we're seeing consistently with Game Pass.
This is PlayStation's Game Pass to X's Game Pass is going to be like Bing to Google. Like, oh yeah.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Internet Explorer.
It's going to have like a couple good games, but it's like, and now on PlayStation Ultra, Stardew Valley, Terraria. And it's like, bro, 40 million people have already played Terraria. Like, this isn't like this crazy thing. Who are they going to partner with? They already lost, but Bethesda's gone. Like, Bethesda's
gone. The only thing they have is their exclusives. I mean, they've got Horizon Forbidden West.
Yeah, they're
going
to have
heavy hitting exclusives. That's it.
They're going to have God of War and
in 2023.
The old God of War and then the old Horizon Zero Dawn on their service. That's about it. Like, what?
The PlayStation one is like Disney Plus. You get it for a month, you watch The Mandalorian and a couple other things, and then you get rid of it. And then you get it back again. So whenever there's like a new thing, you get some PlayStation, and then you get rid of it again. I just don't think they can keep up. If you're logging into Xbox Game Pass, you got like hundreds of games right off the rip. You can't even play through all of it fast enough.
Yeah, yeah. It is absolutely wild. The only thing is like the one flaw Xbox Game Pass has is like games go away. And it'd be like, like it'll say, like, I think recently it was like that Yakuza games were on there, and it's like, oh, these are going away. And then when they go away, you can't play them anymore. I think even if you've downloaded them, you can't play them anymore. You have to, like, buy them.
Usually they have, like, a going away from Game Pass sale.
Yeah.
So it's not, like, full price, but if you already had it, you could buy it for a discounted rate or whatever. But
yeah,
still.
Okay. So, but, dude, holy actual crap, man. Like, I mean, I already have Game Pass. I've been playing this game called Trail Makers, where you, like, build your own, like, cars, and then you unlock, like, jets and wings, and you build your own, like, vehicles and stuff. I've been playing with a couple of buds, and it's so much fun. And
yeah, I saw SkillUp was playing that.
Really? Oh, dude, yeah, it's a blast. Okay, so Gears of War 5 just came. Game of the Year edition is new on PC Game Pass. Like, Back 4 Blood launched on it. Of course, all the Minecraft stuff, because Outriders is here. And, dude, Outriders, like, for free, such a good value game. Like, and it's not beholden to a bunch of microtransactions. So Forza Horizon, it's just, like, the amount of games. It's almost, like, too many games. Like, I wonder if it's going to get oversaturated. Maybe a downside, and so it'll be hard to find, like, the gems, like Trail Makers, when it's all these big games, Ubisoft, Bethesda, all this stuff.
You can fix that easily with some filters, some search filters. They need top rated, most played.
They need some better filters. Their filters are kind of dog water.
And I mean, if you have all of them, there's going to be always that niche of someone who's like, I want to play Forza and only Forza. But, you know, if they've got the games on there, they'll find what they need. I'm not too worried about that. I'm just so impressed with the amount of content that they have.
They have that Mortal Shell game, bro.
Have you played that?
No, but it's like a Dark Souls game.
It's awesome.
No, Souls games are garbage. Not interested.
Okay.
They're garbage. Oh, let me guess. Can I just guess? I've seen barely anything. Can I guess? Is it a game where the boss has big, slow attacks and you've got to dodge out of the way? And then you smack him a couple times, and then he swings again. You gotta dodge out of the way. Then you smack him a couple times. Is that how the game works, Dash?
Well, there's a couple, but some of them are a little more. Some of them are a little faster. Some are faster. Oh, I
knew it, dude. And you get upgrades. Every single Souls game, bro.
I'm playing Elden Ring until my fingers fall off, though. Like that game. It's funny because you see all the hype for these games. And then people get their hands on it, and it's like, yeah, no, it's not as good. All the people that have played Elden Ring, they're like, it's better than I thought. And so now my hype is even higher. Like Vadi Vidya and like Iron Pineapple and all these people that are like really dedicated creators for Souls games, they're going in and saying, it's the best game ever. So it's just like, well, all right. they just played it for 15 hours unending. Yeah. I know. I'm so excited.
I'm always in favor of. I never want to see any game fail. I mean, even if it's a game that I have zero interest in, I want it to be successful. You know, that's how I am with Infinite. I have like little to no interest in Infinite, but I cheer it on. And I'm happy whenever it's successful at anything. So for me, Starfield's the one that I'm most anticipating.
Is it an official release?
I keep seeing people playing it.
Starfield?
I'm thinking of Star Citizen. Sorry.
I'm like, no, you don't. No, wait, where?
Who? I was thinking of Star Citizen. That's my bad.
Yeah, Starfield. I hope that they can nail it. I hope that they can nail it. And I don't know why. I feel like with space, they get it wrong a lot of the time. Like not them. I'm just like any game. Yeah. A lot of the time, as soon as they go into space, things start falling apart. It's like, we added a flight mechanic and it's like, not worth it. It didn't work.
Yeah.
I know that, I'm sure fantasy is a little bit easier to write because it's like a bear is like, we know what a bear is. If you have to come up with new enemies and new things that you've never seen in new areas, I don't know if it's just harder to get creative that way or make something believable but
I like the realms where space and fantasy collide. That really gets me. I mean, the Metroid Prime games.
Yes.
Like, where space and fantasy collide, man, there's some magic there. So that's what I'm really hopeful for, because we know that Bethesda are, like, the kings of fantasy RPGs, you know what I mean? So I'm very anxious to see what they come up with.
Well, what was the other one? Outer Worlds? It was, like, kind of like Fallout in space kind of idea. And that game got a lot of great reception. And so, it can be done, I believe. My question is, do you think with Star Citizen...
No.
Or sorry, Starfield. Starfield.
See?
Right? Do you think with Starfield, it'll be the same, like, Bethesda sneak mechanics and like essentially the same game ported into space? Or do you think they're going to change it? They're going to do something completely different here.
Oh, I think it's going to be pretty innovative. You think of like, because it's not like they're taking... Here's the thing. If they were just going to carbon copy the systems that they already had in place, it would not have taken 2 decades
to get
this game where they wanted it. You know what I mean? If their
end
game goal was to have Skyrim in space, they'd already had this game out the door a long time ago. So what they wanted for this game was really ambitious, or else they wouldn't have invested time, energy, effort, capital, manpower into developing it over the course of 20 years, you know?
Right.
Mm-hmm. True.
So
yeah, pretty crazy stuff. Unfortunately, The Witch Queen comes out, what, like a day before Elden Ring? Definitely a bit rough. I feel, though, like Elden Ring is like, it's hype, but I want to play it, but, you know, it's not multiplayer. It's not like I can just pick it up whenever. I can pick it up in March and have the same fun.
If you're not creating for it, or you don't want to jump into PvP when everyone's playing, or like rush to make some like twink account that like can roll level 40 people or something, like, I don't think it needs to be any sort of rush to play that game. It's something you can just get lost in down the road. But the thing that I've seen, which is probably the most exciting, is there are a lot of like abilities and magic relatively early in the game. And I find a lot of the other Dark Souls games, it's like, oh, you want to use magic? Well, you have to get 6 hours in the game before you can even get your build going, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's not really fun. It there seems like co-op. There's a okay, lot so there's, of choice.
Apparently there's, yeah, there's co-op. But again, there's co-op, it's different than
there
like...
There is and there isn't.
Like, the Witch Queen, I want to, like, play the Witch Queen and level up my character and all that stuff, like, right away. And the raid launch and all that stuff. Like, I can start Elden Ring, like, a while later. But a lot of people are not going to think that way. I think Bungie's probably like, frick, man. We had to like launch in the most next to the most like anticipated game in such a long time. But even then, like, I wonder, like, there's so much hype for Elden Ring, but like the Souls games generally are still a little bit of a niche audience, you know? Like,
yeah, I totally agree.
Chad from the frat house is playing Warzone. He's not interested in Elden Ring, right? I mean, a little bit of a stereotype, but that's the type of person who's like not interested in a Souls type game. Is like the Call of Duty players, the shooter players, right? It's like the fantasy RPG people, which are a little bit more niche, I would say. Maybe they're not. Maybe this game like blows through sales numbers and we kind of see a shift. But generally, like, the casual gamer tends to stay away from games that are known to be very difficult, and Souls type games are.
I'm telling my audience, if you don't watch me play this, I'm quitting forever. And this time I mean it. Like, please let me enjoy Elden Ring and just be there and enjoy it with me. This stream will be way better than me talking about the same anime titty for the 50th time. Like, I really want to explore that game. I've been waiting forever. I think it's the most hyped game I've been in a long time. But I've also loved the Souls games right from the start. Like, I don't know why. I don't get sick of it. I always like the new challenge and the new areas and the way the games flow together, and I just wish there was more studios that would consistently put out a good product like that. Like, no, I've never played a Souls game and been like, oh, this sucks. Even Dark Souls 2, people roasted Dark Souls 2 because there was like a lot of repeat bosses and some of the map design. It's like, we were just in a cave and now all of a sudden we're in this completely different area. Like, it just doesn't make sense. It was still a great game. It was still better than almost every other game I've played. Like, if you just look at the whole package and the amount of hours I played, and like, I don't know. I feel
no
like
no matter what happens, Tash, you're gonna pop off on your Clips channel of clips of you dying to bosses and screaming 100%.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, exactly.
Do me a favor between now and when Elden Ring launches, and go out and buy like 50 $10 keyboards. Okay, that way you can
smash
just
keyboards.
Yes,
100%.
Every clip, just every clip.
Do you guys want to jump into After Dark and start answering some of the questions about, like,
yeah, sure. Yeah,
are
let's just
skip in that one topic.
Yeah, well, we could talk about it now. We could
talk about it now.
All right, we got some more Destiny drama. Oh my god.
So, if you missed it, GSXR Clyde, he is a prominent streamer, PvE aficionado. He does a lot of like raid help. He teaches people how to raid, does carries, all that stuff. He recently got in heat because he pretty forcefully, like pretty damn forcefully.
That dude is 90% muscle.
Yeah, like he is. I would not wrestle that guy ever. He has a big dog. It jumped on him while he was kind of working on something. He grabs the dog. He pushes it back, and it slammed into a kind of little, like a mini fridge behind him.
Right? And like it, like a, you know, there was like an impact. I think like the camera shook, some G Fuel or GamerSoft, whatever it was, fell off the thing. It was like it was a big thing, and so a lot of people were very upset. Like, hey, you know, you shouldn't do this. You shouldn't like kind of violently. You didn't like hit it, but like really kind of violently push your dog around. So a lot of, so he got in a lot of heat,
and. And, you know, it, the thing is like, if he apologized right away, it probably wouldn't have blown up as much. Or in the clip, the damning thing is he kind of does it. He looks at the dog and he's like, you're really pissing me off. He didn't go, oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't realize.
Yeah.
Like right. If I,
there wasn't an immediate regret. Yeah.
If I accidentally stepped on my little cat face foot, I'm like, oh, my baby.
Yeah, I know.
My
yeah.
baby. So I think people see that and their reaction is like, this guy's a piece of trash.
Yeah.
But the issue, I think, personally, call me wrong if I am, he just kind of doubled down and he was like, you guys are all babies. Like, he's a big dog. I did it. And then people started clipping him more and more. And he's kind of defending himself and, you know, fight or flight's kicking in. I get it. He's getting attacked by the mob and he's like, you guys are being cancel culture. But then that gets clipped. And then more gets clipped. Yeah. A content creator like Mylan Games, he kind of did it, and then he started roasting Mylan and saying like, "Just put my dick in your mouth." Like it
which
escalated.
It's never a good play to try and put on blast some of the most loved people in the in the community of whatever you know.
It was one of those things where like it was not good. Like you shouldn't forcefully push your dog, and it's like I thought at first he had like a food item, and I can almost understand that because like if it was chocolate or something, you're like, holy, get it, like, you know what I mean? But it was like an item, and then you push the dog, and then obviously he didn't mean to like have this dog hit the fridge, but then it did, and then you didn't like, oh, are you okay? Like, oh, he's fine, guys, sorry about that type of thing. You know, it was a bad look. And then like you said, if he would have just come out and said, you know, because the times I've met him, he's been super nice to me. He's been nothing but, you know, nice and welcoming and all that stuff. But if he, in this scenario, he should have just said, you know what? Thank you guys for calling me out, because that was not the right thing to do to the dog. It was a moment of anger. And I can assure you guys, you know, this dog is not abused. He's very loved. But at the time, I was in the wrong, completely in the wrong. And I promised, like, I'm never going to do that again. And again, like, thank you for calling me out, because this is something we should call out as an animal lover. This is something I care about. You come out with that response, and it would have been so much better. But like you said,
it's all good and gravy,
he got very defensive and doubled down on like the this is cancel culture. Everyone's jealous of me and stuff. And it's like, dude, I'm sure there are people out there that are just trying to cancel you because they have their own Twitch channels and want to pop off. You know what I mean? I'm sure you can find them. But the majority of people, I think, just felt sorry for the dog. And it's just like, it was just a bad response. Now, he's since come out with a longer thing admitting like, hey, I kind of like went into defensive mode because I was getting obviously attacked quite a bit, and I kind of just, you know, it was not the good way to handle it. And so his apology, I mean, he did at least admit that and say that. Yeah. And so
to his credit, he came around.
Yeah, he came around, but it's like you could have saved yourself 2 days of this.
Of heartache,
you just would have done it off the start.
That's the thing, is like it escalated, and honestly, probably the only reason we're talking about it now is because it escalated to the point where it was like, oh my god, because someone posted it on live stream fails, and then XQC was streaming.
He reacted to it.
So it went from like, oh, this doesn't look good, and then it was like, uh-oh, he's kind of like roasting people in chat here and not like he's kind of defending himself. And then it's like, oh god, it's going viral on live stream. Oh god, now XQC has seen it just got blown up. But the thing, I guess the one thing is, like, everyone makes mistakes. I make mistakes. We will all make mistakes. At some point, you're not going to be perfect. You're going to say something you shouldn't. I've said things on stream where I've had to stop stream and go, do you know what? I should never have said that. That's a bad habit from back when I played hockey. That is terrible language. You have to call yourself out, though. You can't defend yourself. Like, you have to realize, I made a mistake. I can't do that. I don't want to do that ever again. And you just have to try to work and be better. And that's the key. Is, like, people just want to see you progressing towards being better. If you're sitting there it's a big dog, then they're all worried, well, now you're going to do it again, because you obviously don't think it's a problem, right?
Well, what's he going to do to it off stream when people aren't watching?
That's exactly. Thing to say. Yeah, 100%.
It's weird. It's like, there's a fine line to walk there, because absolutely, when things happen, you want to hold people accountable for their actions and give them the opportunity, give them the grace to come around, make apologies, all that stuff. But then on the flip side of it, cancel culture can go too far sometimes and say things like, we want this guy in prison. You know what I mean? It can escalate to a place where it should never go. And so there does have to be grace and truth. This is the way that I try to approach things. Grace and truth have to go hand in hand. It's okay to be truthful and be like, call something out when you see it and be like, here's the truth. That was wrong. You got to be held accountable for that. But you also have to walk that line with grace as well and compassion, because everybody screws up.
Unfortunately, it also turned, because he was using in his defense, like, oh, this is just cancel culture. And that is not, and he was right and wrong. You know what I mean? It was because calling someone out is not necessarily cancel culture. Holding someone accountable is not cancel culture, right? And it's just not a good look when you're getting in trouble and you're going like, oh, it's just cancel culture. It's like, well, you pushed your dog a little too rough. That has nothing to do with cancel culture. You did it. Like, it's on.
Yeah.
It's on. Right. It was in his 2021 highlights. Like, it was not a good look. At the same time, you also, like, see the part of cancel culture, because people were, like, not just saying, hey, this is not right, you need to do better, refrain from doing this in the future. People were like, I hope this guy gets banned from Destiny 2. I hope he can never stream again. Like, it's like, okay, maybe let's not go for, like, ruining someone's life over this. And that's the element of cancel culture that did rear its head, where it's like, dude, calling someone out is not a bad thing. Holding people accountable is not a bad thing. But the nuclear button, everyone just wants to press the nuclear button on Twitter. It's like, oh, let's ruin this guy's life and take away his livelihood. Yeah, and take away all his livelihood and whatever. It's like, oh, like, put him in prison, all this stuff. It's like, whoa, okay. Like, that, if you do that, it's no one's benefit, including the dogs. Like, let's all take a step back and just, like, learn and get better and improve as a person going forward, right? And again, horrible way to handle it. I do feel a little sorry for, like, of course you're going to get very defensive. Like, a lot of people have never been in a scenario where, like, the mob is out to get you and there's, like,
where Reddit that many about people.
It's a weird scenario, right? Most people are never going to experience it in their lives, right? It's weird, right? It kind of a little bit happened to me when a bunch of Reddit posts at the same time were like, Rick's intros are 25 seconds and I'm gonna, and I got so much hate. People, like, literally delete your channel, kill yourself, all that stuff over the length of my intros, right? And it was in a very short period of time, like, multiple posts, were being made, right? And so it's a weird experience. You feel terrible and there's, like, a mob out to get you. It's a weird thing that a lot of people don't experience, and it's really easy to get super defensive and go on the attack back and get super angry and stuff like that, but it just makes everything look worse, and it's just like, it's not the way to do it. And and in this scenario, certainly, and he admitted it himself, handled it horribly. And I think, you know, and again, like, calling it, then getting mad at people just calling you out, rightfully so in my opinion, is again doubling down on just a really bad way to handle it. So
yeah,
it was just bad. It was just unfortunate and bad all around, honestly.
What was the question earlier? I'm trying to scroll up here. Hey guys, huge fan of the podcast. How excited are each of you for the Witch Queen, and what are your expectations?
Yeah, I'm super excited. I could not, like, be more excited. I think that the Witch Queen, from all that looks, is going to be absolutely huge. You know, the new Throne World area looks massive. And I feel like 2021, it's kind of interesting, right? Like, people are saying 2021 was, like, Destiny's best year, but we didn't even have, like, a big expansion this year. Mm-hmm. We just had a bunch of little expansions, but they were like all kind of bangers. You know, the 30th anniversary went really well. Season of the Splicer was really good. Splicer Season of the Lost was great. Season of the Chosen was not bad. We had this narrative experience going through all these seasons that would carry over to multiple seasons. And so I think, like, if we just continue this momentum, it'll be really good. You know, that's really the thing is if we just continue what we've been doing and have this evolving narrative and have all this content, I'm super stoked for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want
to listen to your opinion. I want to listen to your opinion first.
My expectations are pretty high for it, truthfully. I'm very excited for The Witch Queen. I think Destiny's at its best when it has a massive infusion of content, just lots of things to explore, new guns to try out, new mechanics to try and understand, wrap our brains around. So, absolutely, the new bigs, like Cacus was touching on, the throne world looks massive. And I really like this, that sort of dark gothic fantasy vibe of having, like, the dead sort of misty swamp lands just outside of the big bad's big evil castle. I love that vibe. So, I'm really excited about diving in and exploring that, exploring the weapon crafting systems as well. But my expectations are really high. I think Bungie is poised in a great position to really wow not just their community, but people who don't play Destiny with content that's really inviting and intriguing. So my expectations are high. I really want them to deliver an experience that's going to wow players, both Destiny players and otherwise.
I think it's going to be amazing. I don't think I'm going to play it.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
Can I just jump in? I think another way, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but you could also say, like, I think it's going to be amazing for PvE players. Because I don't think there's any announced huge PvP stuff.
PvP stuff is coming in the following season.
Yeah, there's going to be a couple new maps and stuff
One new map in the following season.
Yeah, a new map. Well, I mean, a couple of new maps over the course of the year. New maps and stuff, and obviously there's going to be so many new weapons and stuff, which will kind of bump up PvP, but, like, so certainly, like, you know, for the PvE players, and
I just find the PvP and stuff, like, you can add as many guns as you want, it doesn't take away the annoying things that piss me off. Like, I don't think they can fix it for me, but the other thing, too, is the way I look at it is, like, I have to treat it like a business. And I'm a big dog in a big ass pond right now with Genshin Impact, and they are making big updates. And when I come back to Destiny, Frost is bigger than me, Sweatsicle's bigger than me, Glad's bigger than me, Kak is bigger than me on YouTube. Like there's so many content creators that are just bigger than me. And it's like, I would be knowingly going to a very saturated pond. How many people cover Destiny full time? It's astronomical for how big the game is. Fallout plays, Cactus, True Vanguard, like there's just so many. And so it's like, do you guys need me? Like, what am I bringing to the table?
Yeah, it's a good, I mean,
I know some people are like, they want my opinion. They want to hear, they want to see my style. I get it. But it just seems like it would be a very risky business decision that I don't even know I want to take because I think I'm still burnt out on Destiny. I don't think it's gone away. I don't think until there's like Destiny 3 and they completely scrapped everything, would I really want to play the game anymore? Because, I mean, we did the dungeon. The second time we did the dungeon, I was already like, all right. like I was just kind of over it. And, you know, I tried the battle rifle out, and I was like, it's fine. But I'm not, like, blown away. It's not making me super excited. And I think I'm just, unfortunately, looking for a new adventure. And I'm on a new adventure right now. And
you hate it. In fairness to Destiny.
Well, until today, or until the update, like, yesterday is really good. Like, they are updating. But also, as we said, Elden Ring is, like, right when Destiny launches. I don't want to go to Destiny, and then it's like, well, actually, I want to play Elden Ring. And maybe Elden Ring doesn't pan out, but I think I just got to kind of keep doing what I'm doing. I'm off in my own little world. It's a little lonely, but
I feel like you could still get away with, like, every once in a while, like, M-Tash returns to Destiny type of stuff, and then, like, talk about it, like, with every, like, big release plan. Have, like, one video each, like, release, and then you're chilling.
I think, because,
like you said, like, you're not going to go back and review exotics again.
No.
You know, like, it's just no.
If I committed, I could make it happen. If I committed to it. It's just, I don't want to lock myself down into it again and then leave again. And it just, I don't think I'll ever be a long-term Destiny content creator again. And, like, I've played Division and Monster Hunter World, and I want to play new games. Like, I really enjoy jumping into a new game and figuring them out. And so I am kind of in a spot where I want to adventure and get some different things. So
totally understandable.
Can't fault you for that.
Yeah.
Are there any other questions? By the way, you guys, this is the After Dark special, so ask us whatever questions you want. We'll try to answer them.
First and foremost, we should talk about that Brightwing emblem.
Oh,
I've got
a
code for a Brightwing emblem to give away. We appreciate y'all for being here. So if you're not familiar with this emblem, the Destiny community manager sanded a handful of these out to some content creators and people in the community as well to distribute to their communities. And I gave 9 away, but I saved 1 for RGH.
Hell
and
yeah.
I don't think Kak has saved any of his for RGH.
I did not. I didn't even think about it. You said that, and I was like, oh, that's a good idea. I'm stupid.
But I saved 1 for y'all. So we'll probably just give it away by having you guys tweet and tag RGH and say something about the episode tonight. Be like, yeah, I liked the Battlefield content. Hey, I loved what you guys had to say about China, and tag us. And then use the hashtag RGH emblem, okay? You got to use the hashtag RGH emblem because that's how we're going to search these tweets. We can type in the hashtag. We can see what y'all have said. So RGH emblem. No spaces, no fancy nothing, all right?
I put it in the chat there. RGH emblem. Hashtag RGH emblem.
We'll cruise through those. And if you get a DM from us, congratulations. You're the winner. If you don't get a DM from us tonight, you did not get the code, but we appreciate you nonetheless. Sound good?
Yeah. Trevor Thompson, $10 donation. Got a chance to watch it live. You guys are amazing. True Vanguard is so handsome. Cactus HD, I love your beard. And MTashed is lovely as well. He didn't say any of that. I just ad-libbed because I wanted to compliment you guys. But anyways, thank you so much, Trevor, for the $10 donation. Taco with 2 $5 donations. Love TV and Rick. Michael is cool too, I guess. Yeah, I would take it. Eddie Martin, an elite gamer. Thank you so much, Eddie Martin, my man. Appreciate it. Gorgonak with a $5 donation. Actually, let me get to Shiver. It was a $20 donation. He didn't say anything, but he just did a $20. But he did a 11-month membership. Happy New Year's, fellas. Can't believe it's been almost a year.
Shiver's a heat.
For being a member, I'm happy to watch 3 seriously good dudes every week. Thank you all. Thank you so much. And then Gorgonak, $5 donation. Speaking about Ubisoft and R6 Extraction, what do you think about that game? The new R6 Extraction.
I literally do not care about that game. Like, I might play it now that it's free on Xbox Game Pass, because I have Game Pass. But I'm very confused on what it is. So it's basically a zombie game, but with the Rainbow Six characters, right? And you get their abilities and so on, right? Maybe I'm wrong about that.
I'm not even sure. I haven't even looked at it.
I feel like it's a game. It's a game for Rainbow Six Siege fans. And if you're into that, that's totally cool. But I don't think it's going to attract a lot of people from out of that sphere.
I feel like they've done so many games, like The Cycle was one of them. And like there's Escape from Tarkov and these ones where you like go in and extract or you fight enemies. What was the Amazon one that they canceled after 3 days?
Crucible.
Yeah. They do these like PvE, like PvP, like
EVP. Yeah.
And they all suck. They all just kind of suck.
I tried Crucible. I gave it a fair shake, all right?
Yeah. There's another one coming out called, oh, I can't remember what it's called now. Scavengers, I think? So, like,
oh, I did play a bunch of Scavengers.
Yeah, there's
with
a zombie one?
And they've updated a bunch.
There's another one, like, last Scavengers day. Was fun. Wait, is that what Scavengers is? There's one that I thought was Division that they showed off at, like, the Game Awards, but it's against zombies. It's like a third person. There's too many games these days, bro.
Oh, yeah.
Gorgnak with another donation as well, a little $2 dono. It says, TV, what's in the glass and how's it made? The name of the cocktail tonight was a Monte Cassino, and it's an homage to the Benedictine order of monks. So it uses just your Rittenhouse rye. It's a very affordable, cheap rye whiskey, but it's made just for mixing. Okay, so it's not something that's going to, like, overpower the drink. Rye whiskey, lemon juice, Benedictine, obviously, to pay homage to the Benedictine order. Shoot, why am I spacing on it? The other liqueur. What's the other liqueur, Cacus, in a Monte Cassino?
I don't know.
Tell me.
I drink Twisted Tea, man.
Oh, yellow chartreuse. I'm sorry. It's yellow chartreuse, which is chartreuse that's made with honey. That gives you your sweetness. Sorry, I spaced on it for a second. Anyways, really great cocktail. It's all equal parts. Very easy to make. There's your answer.
Sweet. What are you guys... Are you guys doing the day one raid for Witch Queen?
I mean, you know, of course I am.
Of course
you're
you
probably
are.
Not Tash. Maybe you are.
I'll be playing it on day
probably,
one.
Probably, yeah.
I'm not doing it for guides, Frostbolt, so I'm not going to be...
Frostbolt and Primal Guys ditched, so I was like, all right, I guess I'm not coming back. They all want to do guides on PvP weapons instead of doing the day one raid, so I was like, all right, fine. I guess
probably,
I'll just not play.
Probably smart, to be honest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What else is there?
How is Enkonomiya? Enkonomiya, the new
Wait,
Genshin update,
someone asked...
is awesome.
Oh, okay.
Really good. It's really, really good. It looks amazing. Beautiful.
Now, someone actually asked, what's your favorite non-alcoholic drink? And I have the perfect answer, baby. It's Advanced GG, which we forgot to do a little shout-out for. Actually, no cap. I got a care package recently from Advanced GG. It's kind of been a while since they've sent me anything. We're all partnered by Advanced GG. Or I don't know. I am Tasha's TV. I don't think you're kind of ambiguous here. But... our podcast is partnered by Advanced GG, so if you guys use code RGH when you're buying Advanced GG, you get a discount, and it supports all three of us. But they actually sent me a care package with a bunch of their new flavors. I've been trying them. There's like a peach tea one from a certain creator who's like an MMO type guy. I'm not familiar with him, but actually good. Like, it actually tastes like peach tea. My wife's really excited about that. There's the Splitgate Rocket Pop. Now, I have no clue what Rocket Pop is, but it's delicious.
It's supposed to be like Pop Rocks, isn't it?
I think maybe. It tastes amazing. I've been loving it. I actually had some earlier today. And then there's another guy who's like this huge Minecraft guy who has like a sour cherry flavor, which I haven't tried yet, but I'm excited for that one too. And there's always... great flavors. M-Tash has got Mango Splash. I've got Cactus Kiwi Lime as well. There's so many good flavors, and you can, buy Sir Demetrius's flavor to support him, and then use our code RGH and support all three of us. So there's a huge way to, like, get a fantastic product and support a bunch of people of your favorite creators.
Yep. This is way off topic. How do you find events equivalent to Land Fest in your area? I don't know.
I don't.
I mean, right now there's probably not much going on anyways because of COVID. So
I know that in my area there's actually a couple of gaming hubs. I don't know how successful they are, but I've seen them. There's a couple in the Grand Rapids area where it's just like some warehouse that some gamer nerds bought. And then hooked up a bunch of stuff. You pay a fee to get in the doors, and you can go around and play games, and they have online multiplayer games that you can play there. But I don't know how successful they are.
I wonder, like, because I just want to come home and game on my own in my underwear. It's like, I don't want to go to a place and, like, be around people while I'm nerding out.
I feel like it's a thing that maybe a little bit older people enjoy because they were doing that. I've never really done that. Like, growing up, I just played it at home.
I mean, it would be cool to go play RuneScape with a bunch of people back
in
the
day.
It would. Like, back in the day.
But, like, these days, it's going to be hard to set up, man, with, like you said, the pandemic and then...
I'm going to tell you a fun LAN party story. When I was in high school, okay, I was in a choir class, like a show choir class in high school, right? And, our like choir teacher she booked four of us that were in the class for like this quartet gig that was extracurricular. It wasn't for the school, wasn't for the class. It was just this extracurricular thing that she booked us for this gig to make some money. right? And we had like a practice, like a rehearsal for our gig, but it was right after this tournament, this Halo Combat Evolved tournament that I'd signed up for. So I had a team. I went to this Combat Evolved LAN party while I was in high school. I didn't drive. I went with a buddy of mine, and the guy was supposed to give me a ride back home after our tournament, because it was like this big hub in my hometown where they had these LAN parties, this like old Sears it was an old Sears that they had bought out and refurbished for these big LAN parties. So I went there, I placed second place in the tournament, earned some cash, we were feeling real good, and then my buddy ditched me, like he left and didn't say anything, and I got stranded there. So I had to like make a couple of phone calls, and I was really late leaving this LAN party, this Halo Combat Evolved LAN party, and didn't make the rehearsal. And then a couple weeks later, our report cards came in, and this lady gave me a B in choir. Now, I showed up every day. Like, how do you get a B in choir? You know what I'm saying?
You sing so like that guy over there.
So I went to her office because I was pissed, and I was like, yo, why the freak did you give me a B? I was like, give me one reason why in class I would deserve a B in choir. Because I was a 4.0 graduate student in high school, right? So my grades were really important to me. And she says, well, it's because you think video games are more important than choir. And
yeah,
I think about that moment more times than I should, being as petty as I am. Like, I would love to run into her one day.
Find her.
And be like,
find her,
you know,
on
what
Facebook.
I do?
Send to your channel.
Do you know what I do?
Yeah. That's hilarious, dude.
Oh, man.
That's probably enough. We're closing in on an hour and a half.
Someone talked about, like, NFT stuff. Someone's like, how long till Bungie adds NFT emblems for Destiny 2? But the good thing is the Bungie developers have all been memeing on NFTs, so I don't think they're super.
Yeah, they have.
Seems like they hate them.
Yeah, it doesn't seem, you know, NFTs certainly are an interesting thing. And like we said, I don't get them, but I can't make fun of them too much because people literally make $800,000 off a picture of a monkey. So, like, yeah. They're clearly doing something right. But in gaming, I think, you know, I don't want to get into this topic because it's literally like an hour-long topic in and of itself. But I think the main thing is, like, in gaming, they need to add value. Like, what value is this NFT? How does it improve the game? If you're just adding them for the sake of adding them, it seems like a money grab.
Just to be on part of the trend, yeah.
Lastly, we got one thing. This guy says, Kakis, what do you use to keep your beard so formed? Literally nothing. I don't have no oils, nothing. It's just...
See, my beard hair curls, like, bad. Goes, like, yours looks nice and straight.
Underneath mine doesn't it, like, grow. All goes like this way, but like, it's just random luck, I guess. Or like, go to a good barber, because I should be using like, everyone has like tea tree oil, the oil. Oh, this is, you know, what's it called? It's like, oh, tobacco scented oil. And all this crap. Yeah. Like every like man store, manly man thing is like all this beard oil and stuff. I use none of it, dude.
Yours is Dorito dust.
Mine is exactly. It's held together by all the Cool Ranch Doritos. Like lining the beard keeps its structure.
Hell yeah. Well, the triangle is one of the strongest shapes, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Christopher with another $50 donation. Insanity. Thank you. Appreciate it. I think we're going to call it there, though. Thank you so much for joining us for episode number 68 of the RGH podcast. Next episode is 69.
Hey, we got to do... Nice. Bro, we got to do the...
Come on in.
Unfortunately, your tickets. We can't leave the dog that long.
I know.
So
I know.
I wish, dude.
Maybe I'll just be in the hot tub. just talking over the Jets the whole time. It'll be yeah, terrible, right. But I'll try. Thank you so much for watching. There will be another episode next Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern time. We typically do this every single Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern time. I'm MTashed.
I'm Kakis HD.
I'm True Vanguard.
And this was the RGH Real Gamer Hour podcast.